Welcome to College Football Roundtable, your source for college football coverage, including major storylines,
playoffs,
can't miss game previews, and picks each week. Join your hosts, Dan, Rob, and Jordan at the roundtable for a show unlike anything else. As for Football presents the College Football Roundtable.
Welcome back, everyone. Or should I just say Happy New Year? It's a little bit late. We're 12 days in, but hey, this is the first time of us getting together as an esteemed panel here at the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. We watch the playoffs. We watch previous playoff national champions get the boot early. The playoffs have been occupied by Nick Saban's coaching tree. And the two most significant observations that I can make about the playoffs so far is underclassmen quarterback play and those doggone defenses. What's up, Trash Talkers? Welcome back to the College Football Roundtable. Or you could just call it Ring Knocker Radio. We got three O's and an NCO today, so we got a full panel today. I'm your host, Rob, the Angry Colonel in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Omar calling to you out of Oklahoma. We got Dano Icabeso calling to you out of Coastal Connecticut. And Trigger Joe is calling from the home of the Big House. How we doing, fellas?
Good, man. I have been spending a lot of time trying to recharge my batteries after the chaos of the end of the season there. Skied over Christmas, and then again with Terry right after the new year. Finished drafting my book. I'm in the rewriting phase. Like, life is going okay.
Yeah. Dana, when is your book coming out? Are you going to release it? Are you publishing it?
I don't know what I'm doing with it. I think I am going to do like a beta test read with people who are interested from the Firsty Club. Yeah. But we're still probably a couple of months away. I mean, it's like... Okay, I don't know how interested you guys are in this, but the initial draft was 80,000 words, which is a little, you know, average but a little light. And as I was going through it, trying to think about how, like, whether the scenes work, I've been through the first four chapters and I've added 5,000 words. So the damn thing may come in weighing in at about 100 grand by the time we finish, which is there not short.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, if you like to touch pages, then reading a longer book is a way to go. Speaking of writing, we've got one of our esteemed beat writers with us, Omar. How are things going?
Yeah, like returned from the pickets of paternity leave back to work over December. Took the baby and wife to first bowl game, Ohio, UNLV in the Frisco Bowl. When an old Ohio fan said, "That's got to be the youngest fan I've ever seen." And I'm like, "How do I explain to this guy? I just love college football." Yeah, and they're just here with me. Yesterday went to the Dream Bowl, got a write-up coming on that one. And I have to say, I'm probably going to get attacked. Well, maybe not in this show because it's roundtable, but it was cool seeing Isaiah Alston, you know, catch eight passes at AT&T Stadium, you know, everything aside with how, I guess, his time ended at the Academy, but catching passes, eight passes, and catching some from Cade McNamara, Joe, you know, college ball playoff starter. I know it's nothing like a tight Tyler Spiral, but I mean, that's got to count for something.
Yeah, for sure.
Did you get a chance to talk to him?
No, I did not. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to talk to anyone. There was no sideline access for the game, and I wasn't at the practices. So
Cade started the game that was the game of us reversing fortune on Ohio State. It was the first victory over them in a long time. He was the starting quarterback, but that was the Aiden Hutchinson game.
Yeah, for sure. Joe, how about you? What'd you do?
Oh, dude, kids unwrap presents and watch kids play with the box more than the toy because I've got two boys under the age of 5 years old in my 40s because I'm crazy. But no, we did the kids thing, man. It was a really good Christmas to see. I mean, I wish the weather would be, you know, above 11, you know. but you know, if we get a nice balmy 30, I'd be okay. But, you know, other than that, man, I think I'll say the obvious about any Michigan fan. I was really happy to see them steady the ship and hire a guy with proven integrity like Kyle Whittingham. You know, maybe not the sexiest hire out there for some people, but I don't think that's what Michigan needed. I think they needed the most stable hire, and nothing says stable like a guy like Kyle Whittingham. And he's already brought more Utah transfers in than Michigan's ever had, so they're following him. Will that track in the Big Ten? I don't think a guy like Kyle Whittingham fails. So, but it's good to see somebody with that level of respect taking the reins at Michigan after what could have been an absolute catastrophe after, you know, the whole coach debacle. So to get that ship studied was probably a number one priority. You don't want to lose your entire, because with the NIL now, I mean, you can lose your whole team.
Yeah.
And sure. It's crazy. I know we'll talk about it later in the show. So that was one of the things sporting wise outside of the playoffs being wildly entertaining in Miami, covering every line they've been up against. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure.
I've been drinking the Kool-Aid, obviously. You and I have been texting pregame, but I said they were going to cover against Ohio State, and they did me right. So
yeah, and plus a playoff run. We'll talk about that a little bit too. But before we talk about that, really quick, if you watch the intro to the show, like, we threw some of the bowl picks from the Fenway Bowl in there, and those are from Lynn Fern. Lynn has been outstanding this season. She's been a great addition to the team. She has tons of photos, most of which she'll drop a few on the socials, but if you really want to get access to them, you have to be a Patreon, join the Firsty Club, and it's well worth your time and money. Even if you just do the one-offs just to grab the photos that you like, I think it'll be a great opportunity. You can see it scrolling across the bottom. There's the contact and information for everybody on the Ask for Football team that is producing something. So please take a look at that. And speaking of producing something, we have somebody that will produce great results when you're looking for your next home. So if you've listened to this podcast before, or you're PCSing to Fort Bragg, we have the realtor for you. Jocelyn Bradley is a member of the Long Gray Line class of 1990, or correction, or 2010. Geez, I'm stuck in my own head. I'm stuck in 97. Anyway, she served as an Army logistics officer, where she honed her passion for impacting people's lives. Now, as a dedicated realtor, she brings the same commitment to helping you find your dream home. Jocelyn provides exceptional personalized service and a seamless home buying experience that's tailored to your needs. Beyond Fort Bragg, Jocelyn has an extensive network of trusted realtors and other veterans across the country that will help you no matter where your PCS takes you, whether you're relocating across the country or to the center of the Eastern Seaboard, i.e. Fort Bragg. She will link you up with a professional of integrity in your market. As a proud supporter of Ask for Football this season, Jocelyn is the realtor that you can trust to guide you to a new home. Reach out today and make your next move effortless. So let's talk about bowl games real quick. Omar, you got to go to some bowls, but bowl game standings, the American went 6-3. The ACC is 8-4 in that stop before the playoff really got too deep. Big 12 went 4-4. Big 10 went 9-4. And again, Indiana's in the driver's seat as far as winning. Conference USA is 4-3. Independents, they're 0-1, but I'm giving Notre Dame the second loss. So they're actually 0-2 since they didn't show up for their bowl game. The MAC is 2-3. Mountain West went 2-5. Pac-12 went 1-0. Surprisingly, they're one team that was in. SEC went 4-10. So this is the real topic of conversation. Of course, the Sun Belt went 4-6. What do you guys think about the state of bowl games? Because I know something has to change with the transfer portal being what it is. But do we think that it still matters? Because there's hardware on the line. You know, for whatever conference wins the most bowl games, they, you know, get a postseason recognition. We'll go Omar, Joe, and then Dan. Thoughts, bowl games. How many did you watch, and do you think it still matters?
How many did I watch? Not as much as I wanted to, because my wife got tired of bowl games really quick. This is like the first one where we weren't going through a PCS, and so like first week she's like, another bowl game, like in the middle of the day, because I'm just on paternity leave, just languishing, holding our daughter, who was actually like watching some of the bowl games too. I know babies shouldn't have screen time, but I couldn't help it. But I think honestly it's just weird to know the state of bowl games without knowing what the playoffs gonna be, because even as of today, they think it's going to be a 16-team playoff, which I think, coincidentally, my prediction is, I think we're going to stay at 12 with the demands that the Big Ten had, where they said 16 of the SEC concedes to 24 later on. I don't think that there's any way the SEC concedes to doing that. So I think we're going to stay at 12. So I think bowl games are safe for now. But I think, honestly, I feel like the thing that shocked me the most was, I think local communities need to support these bowls better. Because as I was watching on Saturday night, and I guess cat's out of the bag. Yes, went to the Fenway Bowl. My wife gave me permission. The in-laws married. I'm not a deadbeat dad, I swear. But but as I was watching the next morning, driving back from the airport, or coming back from the airport, like, you know, the Gator Bowl, there's no reason the Gator Bowl should only draw 30,000 fans on a Saturday night. And the thing that got me for sure that I think is like wrong with like these communities is the Michigan-Texas Citrus Bowl. That's two brand names that typically do not visit Florida. That game, the upper deck had hardly any souls there. So I really think the onus isn't on the conferences or the state of college football playoff. I think the communities need to put more work into investing in these bowl games and not just saying, hey, we got a bowl game, guys. Go on ahead. Like, make these ticket prices cheaper. There's no reason. The Frisco Bowl tickets that I bought were $45. I don't, no one cares about the Star. I don't know how many Cowboys fans we have watching. No one cares about your practice facility. Those tickets should not be $45. And I think that's part of the reason with these organizers in these communities. But maybe you guys struck a nerve, but that's just my thoughts.
All right. Sounds good. Joe, how about you?
To touch on a lot of what Omar said, because I was going to mention about the Big Ten making those requests of, let's go to ludicrous speed, why don't we, if we've got some Spaceball fans in the audience. 24? Hell, why not? Well, let's get on par with basketball and see if we can get as many teams. Like, what are we doing?
Thank you.
We don't need another James Madison Tulane blowout. And I don't mean to knock a team from the American, because Tulane should be proud of what they did. But they played a team that they already played. The result was almost identical.
Yeah.
To the game that they had a whole season to prep for. And it's not to knock on Tulane. It's a resource. It's a talent thing. It's a depth thing. It's an SEC school against an American school. And, you know, maybe sometimes those line up, you know, because Tulane sure did embarrass Northwestern early on in the season. But at the end of the year, when everyone's firing on all cylinders, why line a team up to get punked by 35 points like that? I don't know. There's a lot wrong with it. I wish I was smart enough to make sense of it all and where everyone gets paid. Because if everyone's not getting paid, someone's always going to have a problem with it. And biggest talks loudest. And unfortunately, the Big Ten's kind of been the culprit of a lot of the issues with college football, because the commissioner or somebody having a problem with this. And there's too much politics in college football, and that's not going away. So my take is, I believe the bowl games are important. Quality football games at the end of the year, where you get an extra look at a guy before he's going pro, and that means something to a lot of these players still, you know. And it's like watching a UFC card and thinking every single guy's getting paid the same as the main event. Some of these kids, that game means something. They need it for tape.
Yeah,
for sure. So yes, I hope bowl games stay. I hope they get the playoff thing under control. And you know, I do like the fact that there's a 10 play and a one. I think the playoffs, yep, you did your job this year. But I don't know. Something about the model's got to be fixed if they're going to stay with 12 or add more teams. They're going to have to change the way they let teams in then.
Yeah, I think the reality of it is
so much lost in the weeds.
Yeah, I think the reality of it is like, if you stick with 12, you're going to have to put a cap on conferences, right? And so the conferences are going to have to decide, like, hey, we're going to send our conference champ and our best representative, whoever that is. Right. Because again, if it was predicated off of who wins your conference championship, I guarantee you Miami probably would have made it in, because they would have played for the conference championship rather than Duke. Right. That was a self-inflicted wound for sure. But speaking of that, let's talk a little bit about the Lambert Trophy, because this is like picking up hardware during the middle of the season. And we talked a little bit about it at the beginning of the show. I know Dano and Omar probably have more input than this, because you said you had talked to James from Brigade Review about it. But what are you guys' thoughts on the Lambert Trophy?
I'll start. James called me last night, and we just started talking about this randomly. Navy won the Lambert Trophy this year, beating out Penn and UConn as other likely contenders. We wrote a piece, James did, about how the Lambert Trophy is essentially the Northeastern Conference championship trophy. And of course, there's no Northeastern Conference, so what you have is you know, just this trophy handed out to whichever Northeastern college football team plays the best. And they have a community of voters, and Omar can talk a little bit more about his part of it too. It's a little bit of a shame, because the Lambert Trophy guys had apparently spoken to the organizers of the Military Bowl, and if Navy had gone to the Military Bowl to face Pitt, understanding that they went to a better bowl and that's fine, but if they had gone there and faced Pitt, then they were actually going to have the Lambert Trophy on the field and give it to the winners at the game, which would have been rad, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the way things worked out are okay. I hate to say it, but Navy is a deserving winner of the Lambert Trophy this year, and they had a pretty good season, and you can't really take much away from that. So and they seem fired up to have it, which is also something that the trophy itself needs. So yeah, as far as that's concerned, good. But yeah, James is all over this. He does shitloads of work with the Lambert Trophy.
Yeah. Omar, how about you?
Yeah, so I mean, as a voter and host of one of the leading, if not the leading, Lambert Trophy weekly shows, You know, I mean, it's purely out of love. I was doing it before I was even on the voting panel, but I think I have kind of a, I guess, a weird look at the way that the trophy is now. I think the Lambert Trophy is as healthy as it has been since before the Big East was formed. Because if you think before the Big East, everyone in the Northeast was an independent, and in the same way, like all the teams in the Northeast are scattered across conferences. And like a little fun exercise that I have is you look at Temple's 1979 schedule. Like, yes, you see West Virginia, you see Pitt, you see Penn State, but you also see Drake out of Iowa. You see Cincinnati, Hawaii, Delaware, you know, so you see like a kind of like the state of Northeast football going back to how it was when everyone was independent, where you got West Virginia playing their own set of schools. You got Syracuse and Pitt and Boston College and the ACC, Army and Navy and the American. And that's just one aspect that makes it, I think, like as healthy as it has ever been since before the Big East. But also the fact, too, that we're kind of the Lambert Trophy is pretty much the last kind of poll based title that we have in college football, which I think it should be cherished. As much as we hate polls, I'm sure a lot of people wish that it was as simple as, you know, having a poll. And so there's some years where, I guess, not since it's been revived, but there's going to be some years where the Lambert Trophy won't be a toss-up like the last 2 years. And it'll kind of be like a return to that kind of old era, because I know a lot of college football fans are longing for nostalgia. So as for the bowl game, I wish it would have played out that way. I can't really think of a scenario where that's played out ever, honestly, but I'm sure it'll happen at some time if the bowl tie-ins remain the same. So,
yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, again, like I said, we talked from the pre-show, you know, Munkin always talks about picking up hardware throughout the course of the season, right? So like if you can pick up an extra trophy for the trophy case, great. Because again, you know, you don't think of it as it making that big of a deal, but it looks good in the trophy case. And like when recruits come around, they see it, you know, all these different trophies year upon year. And then it gives you an opportunity to kind of talk to that and kind of speak more of the team's history with a potential player. And maybe that may be the difference. Like if they're history buff, that might be the difference of them being interested or not. Speaking of hardware though, I'm going to slide over just a little bit and you can see the new Ask for Football Picks League title that I picked up. So if you are a member of the Firsty Club, again, we're plugging the Firsty Club right now, but who cares, right? But if you're a member of the Firsty Club, you have the opportunity to pick against the Ask for Football crew and potentially pick up the strap. Speaking of hardware, so we're throwing hardware on the table again this year. To couple with the growth of the Ask for Football team, our belt got a little bit bigger. But speaking of big contests, we will talk about the playoff. How did we get here? So in the opening round, we saw some blowouts and some not so great football. You know, opening round was interesting, but not without current controversy. You know, JMU got beat down by Oregon 51-34. The Ducks then took on the Red Raiders and shut them out 23-0. And then the semifinals, as per SOP, being the resident Duck hater, the Ducks didn't let me down. Bama took sweet revenge on Oklahoma, beat them 34-24. Then they faced the number one team in the country, lost 38-3. Good Lord, Tulane took its second beating from Ole Miss in the opening round, 41-10. And in the quarterfinal, they put together one hell of a contest to edge UGA. Speaking of UGA, it was funny because I did a informal poll with all the AI servers that were available. And three of the four of them said Indiana, ChatGPT said Georgia. So if you're doing any research, use Copilot. this is not paid announcement, but like if you're doing any other research, use Copilot, Gemini, or Grok. Do not use ChatGPT because ChatGPT will tell you Georgia is going to win. And that is basically the way that it goes. And hey, we got Big Earl in the chat room, and he asked, did Trick or Joe call Miami? I don't know if
he knows what I've been saying.
Yeah. Continuing on, right? And speaking of Miami,
yes.
Right? The Canes stunk the place up against Texas A&M. That was a horrible game. I mean, it looked bad, and, you know, they won. I mean, that's about as all you can say. And they covered, so I guess that
killed the quarterback, for crying out loud.
Yeah. True. Then they put together an outstanding performance against Ohio State. Hurricanes then set themselves up for their first championship run in 23 years. The Hoosiers are trying to prove something that they can play other sports other than basketball. So the final is setting up to be interesting. It'll be 1 week from today. You got the number one Indiana Hoosiers versus the number 10 Miami Hurricanes. Unfortunately, this is supposed to be a neutral field game. It is going to be a de facto home game for the University of Miami because it's being played in Hard Rock Stadium. However, before we turn it over to the panel to talk about this thing, I will say this. the coked out Michael Irvin memes make my day. So like, if you have any, please send them my way, because that's probably the most impressive part of the championship run. The epic amounts of trolling on Michael Irvin. But guys, thoughts on the playoff to this point? We'll start with Joe, over to Omar, and then to Dan.
Oh, defense is king. And, you know, when you can't block the guys on the defensive line, you usually have a lot of success. So I think Miami's run is based off the fact they've got a pretty solid, more NFL guys on defense than not. And, you know, Carson Beck's been waiting for this moment. So I think Miami got healthy at the right time, found their groove at the right time, and they just basically underperformed in two games this year because they've got a lot of talent. So I think it's Indiana's the perfect scheme type team, and Miami's probably got just as much talent. So it's going to be that game is going to be fun to watch, but I am not picking a blowout in the finals at all.
Yeah, for sure. Omar, how about you?
Yeah, I agree with Joe, honestly. I just find it very, very hard for me to pick a blowout, especially where there's that home field advantage too. I do think that Indiana might pull away late, honestly. I think they're just built to just take control of the game, which is how great they've ran the ball during the playoff. I mean, especially like against Alabama, like Fernando Mendoza only throwing, I think, like 16 passes in the Rose Bowl in a 35-point win. Like one of the most dominant things I've seen like in any bowl game, much less the playoff. So I mean, I'm not gonna pick a blow. It's gonna be one of those things where it's like, you know, there'll be spurts where Miami kind of catches up a bit, but I just think Indiana's gonna be too much. I mean, I think I'd say maybe it's like a 10 to 13 point swing, honestly. But I mean, Miami also too is a fact that they have like a really awesome run, so that's kind of stopping me from picking a blow, because that's just a team that has that championship mentality. You can't really quantify it, but they look the part.
Dana, how about you?
I'm probably the wrong person to ask, but I feel like it's pro football. And if I want to watch pro football, I'll watch the NFL. You know, they're actual pro players as opposed to these guys getting paid. Maybe I should have invested more time in the FCS playoffs. I don't know. I definitely think Indiana's going to win for whatever that's worth.
Yeah. I think Indiana's Omar and I are like on the same wavelength tonight, because he said it exactly the way I'm thinking it, is that Kurt Cignetti is going to be able to scheme for anything. And I feel like if someone's going to make a mistake, it's going to be Miami. And the fact that Kalon Black and Roman Henby are averaging 7 yards a carry, it makes your RPO scheme look really well. And they remind me a lot of 2023 Michigan, where they got two backs that they can throw out at you. And if you want to stack the box, they got a quarterback that can see that and read that, and the moment's not too big for Mendoza. So I do think Miami I think they go in tied at the half, and Indiana has a couple of things go their way. Miami has a late shot at the end, but loses 31. I think 31-23 is going to be my final.
Okay, that sounds reasonable. Miami for me,
cover the 8.5.
For me, I think it's simply this. You know, Cignetti's going to have his team ready. And the reason why I say that, because over the last 2 years, he is the only team that got the bye that has won, right? So you are 90% failure rate if you get the bye in the first week of the college football playoff. That 2 weeks off puts you on the back foot, and Indiana was not on the back foot. They actually looked really, really good coming out of the break. And so I think that's really the main thing that's going to be the difference in the contest. Plus the other part of it is like quarterback accuracy down the field. Like, yeah. I think one of the other things is guys chase explosive plays, right? If I'm throwing a 50-50 ball, 25, 30 yards down the field, I want Mendoza on my team. I do not want Carson Beck making that throw, because Carson Beck has a cannon, but he does not have the accuracy, whereas Mendoza has the accuracy down the field. And so I think if it comes into a wide open shootout, advantage Indiana.
You know, that's the thing. They don't want a shootout with this kid.
Oh, no.
Indiana lives for shootouts because they can just keep coming at you.
Yeah, 100%.
To have a couple 6 minute drives to stay close.
Yeah, to be honest, Miami needs to call Jeff Monken and use the Army playbook, right? Control the ball, keep the other quarterback off the field, and make him make mistakes because he's trying to play catch up. I mean, if recipe for success.
They beat Ohio State by giving Mark Fletcher 20 carries and hitting Malachi Toney when they creep up. That's how they beat him and rough up that quarterback.
I mean, you think that only works up to a point, but even Jacksonville tried that against the Bills yesterday, and they almost made it work. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, hey, you know, if you got a talented QB, keep him off the field, right?
That's the best thing. Secured the bag this year. What a run they went on.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And speaking of securing the bag, it's a great segue into the transfer portal, right? Let's talk about the transfer portal. So I don't know if you've been paying attention, but like, you know, talk about a dumpster fire, man. The transfer portal is on fuego until for the next 96 hours, right? It is going to be freaking nuts. And statistically, Texas Tech is winning out like on both On3 and 24/7 Sports. They say that they have the best off-season procurement. But my one thing that I will say, and this is the common trend that I've seen, and it's going to be that way, and it probably always will, you know, the coaches that bank on a quarterback and try and develop them, hey, it's good on them. But we've seen like the sophomore quarterbacks get smacked around in the playoff, and it didn't help them. You know, look at Moore, look at Sain, both of those guys, super, super talented, but they're developing quarterbacks. So hopefully maybe next year is their year. But, you know, if I can cherry pick a championship level quarterback, I don't know, like Carson Beck or, you know, Mendoza, both of those guys are credentialed. Mendoza's got a damn business degree already, right? Dude's a grown man. Like he's just playing football right now because he's waiting for the NFL draft. There's a big difference
also. So
yeah, but there's a big difference in a guy that comes in with that level of talent and that level of maturity versus like, hey, I'm an 18 or 19 year old kid trying to have a play scheme developed around me. And hopefully I just don't screw it up too bad. Right. And I mean, what was the first series play for both of those guys? Sain and Moore, pick six off of a screen, which should not happen, but both of those younger quarterbacks did that during the playoffs. So that's kind of what I think. Do we think Sam Leavitt got poached? I mean, he disappeared out of ASU, and then all of a sudden he showed up as LSU. I guess he just changed the first letter of his state university, but I'm sure he secured the bag on that. But guys, what are your thoughts on the transfer portal? We'll go Dano, Omar, and then Joe.
My least favorite thing about the transfer portal is just what it's done to bowl season. You know, Omar was talking earlier about bowl games being lightly attended. But yeah, I mean, why are you going to go to a bowl game if you're going to see the freshman scout team out there playing in a bowl game? I mean, UConn had a pretty good number of kids show up against Army, especially on their defense, but their offense was awful. And, you know, even then, Connecticut, you know, they only had to drive from Connecticut over to Boston. And I think decent number of people showed up for the game. But if it's way out of town and you're potentially going to go see, yes, a big name school, but not really any of their big stars, it's kind of a tough sell. So I don't love it. And not because I don't want kids to get paid, but just because they got to figure something out right now. It's chaos. And I don't know how you fix it. I hesitate to say you have to make these kids be in a place that they don't want to be in longer than a year. But at the same time, a lot of these kids are not helping themselves. And many of the kids in the transfer portal will never play again. So,
yeah.
I have to hand out an honorary trigger tag to old Roger here on YouTube. Buddy, I didn't say anything derogatory about Indiana. I said they were going to win the game. But hang on now. You guys haven't ruled the football universe for hundreds of years, so can we just relax on the knee-jerk reaction? No, he's getting mad. That's it. Miami's the next cupcake is what Roger. Somebody must have just dog-walked Indiana verbally a couple of days ago, but it wasn't us, Roger. We said they'd win.
It's getting spicy in the comments. Omar, transfer portal, go.
I'm gonna come out with the alternative perspective of this and just, you know, go back in time a few years ago when in the 2023 Quick Lane Bowl, one Cole Kramer. I don't know if you guys follow the whole Drake May thing. You know, I don't know how young our audience is, but okay. Cole Kramer came into the 2023 Quick Lane Bowl with just 14 career pass attempts. In fact, Minnesota was about to forfeit that bowl game if they didn't, you know, if they didn't get the donors together and help pay for Kramer's wedding, right? Well, Kramer played. And with a gritty 8-for-16, 26-yard performance with two touchdown passes, the only two touchdown passes of his career, he got a win in a bowl game at an NFL stadium. And then this year, a guy like Brady Lichtenberg 45 career pass attempts for Cincinnati, a fourth or fifth year senior. I don't know how many years, but he was a senior. Starting the Liberty Bowl. Like, yeah, okay, I get it. Like, you know, it's those situations where it's like, you know, that's not the Cincinnati. It's like Rick Pitino would say, that's not the Cincinnati Bearcats walking through that door. That's not the Minnesota Golden Gophers walking through that door. But like these seniors, like these are moments these guys are never going to forget. And that's like, I feel like in a odd, twisted way, we get, you know, the good stories in college football like that. We're like, yeah, okay, Minnesota, you know, beat Central Michigan in the Quick Lane Bowl, and you know, Cincinnati got blown out in the Liberty Bowl. But you know, like this is college athletics. Like guys like Cole Kramer and Brady Lichtenberg making their only career starts in bowl games. So like, you know, maybe I'm perpetually a glass half full guy, but that's like what catches my. That's what I choose to focus on. So salute to Cole, not the guy from Seinfeld, Kramer, and Brady Lichtenberg.
Nice. I'm sure Bryson Cudsdale's parents were very happy to hear that their baby boy was going to carry the ball 20 times against Texas for the Maize and Blue. In all honesty, to touch on what Omar said, he was a walk-on, and he played pretty well against Texas, but that's because Michigan's top two backs decided not to play.
Yeah.
Boo.
Joe, any additional thoughts on the transfer portal? I mean, Michigan's benefited from it from quite a bit, but it's also name, image, and likeness. I mean, you were able to secure Bryce Underwood. But do you think the influx of former Utah players is going to make a difference? Because it's
will that Utah track in the Big Ten is the question. Now, I don't want to look down on what Kyle Whittingham has done because, you know, Michigan had to go out there to Utah in Jim Harbaugh's first season and play them. And he handed Harbaugh an ass whooping. And I've always respected the guy. He's won everywhere he's been. He took Utah from the Mountain West end of the pack, right? And then, you know, kind of like Appalachian when they, you know, were so dominant and they're like, all right, we're going to bump up. And it's like he's always kind of chased the next best thing. So I think this is going to be a big challenge having to face teams like Oregon, Indiana. It's going to be a little different, but I don't know if Utah players will track out west. So the transfer portal is always such a mystery to me because you get excited about a kid coming in and then it's like, you know, the reason why he transferred is because he was a locker room toxin or something like that. You never know. So I don't know. It's such a big mystery. And some years Michigan gets it right and it feels like they're getting better with the NIL, which they should. They have a alumni that owns the Miami Dolphins, for crying out loud. Like they, and he's not even the richest guy. So Michigan should be killing the NIL. But I'm not a huge fan of it. I'm just glad we started the show before all that went on and we all said in 5 years, college football is going to look nothing like it does today. Yeah, I still remember that show.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think I'm still trying to figure it out, to be honest.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing about the transfer portal is, you know, just don't hurt your opportunity to play. And I think that's very, very hard for a kid to predict when like, hey, look, I'm going to transfer to this school because I have the great opportunity to move up. You know, and we always talk about it when it comes to coaches, like, hey, look, this guy's going to this place or this guy's going to that place. Is it a lateral move? Is it an upward move? Is it a downward move? And we always try and think about that. But the reality of it is like you're watching guys that are tied into schemes that are going to showcase them, and then they leave to go to another team, and then it completely falls apart. Like, look, you know, Army has their own player that I will remain nameless, but he went to ASU to backfill Cam Scataboo.
No. They have two of the biggest busts in the portal, not just one.
Yeah, for sure. But the other piece of it is you think about, you know, when you look at Cam Scataboo was a generational player, right? And at first everybody was like, is he just good against college dudes? And then you watch him dog walk everybody until he gets hurt in the NFL. Like, okay, that guy is special. Period. Like he would start at just about any school that he goes to. And I think that's one of the things that if you're not cruising with that level of talent, like you're really taking a big risk. You're really taking a big risk, right? And you're assuming that your next landing spot is going to be good, right?
Technically, Army's been paying players for years. Good one.
Fair point.
I was about to start arguing with that one in the comments, but yeah, it's there's levels to the game, unfortunately.
Yeah,
paying them and paying them well, I'll say.
Yeah, they're getting that education one nickel at a time, but. But, you know, I think that's the biggest problem. It's not the fact that players are able to transfer. I'm cool with that, right? Like, I like to see a graduate transfer occasionally. Like, hey, like, this guy went to this college and he transferred to go to the school that his dad graduated from. Whatever. That doesn't affect me. But really what kills me is the guys that transfer to think that they're going to a better opportunity, and they go from starting on a football team to, like, the seventh linebacker on the depth chart. And that's one of those things that's that, like, one, it's insulting to their talent, you know, but the other part of it is like, hey man, you know, one of the biggest things that you always have to do as an adult is kind of know your limitations, right? Like, hey, look, yeah, I may have played with these dudes in high school and that was 3 years ago, but, like, things have changed. Like, the way that coaching and training and developing is different. And I guarantee you, it's different at SEC school versus a Big 12 school or a Big 10 school. You know, like, the way that these coaches develop their players is different because the schemes are different. And the way that they coach is different from maybe the school that you grew up in high school. So, I mean, you're taking a big risk. And my big complaint is I just want to see, like, if a guy transfers, I want to see him play. And right now, the people that we've seen most often have that luxury or the quarterback position, just because, like, I can pluck a championship quarterback out of the transfer portal if I throw enough money at him. And we're seeing that, like, both of the quarterbacks are in the transfer portal are basically starters from other places that perform well. But speaking of performing well, we got a guy that will perform.
Hold on. Before we go on, I would say, you know, not to encourage tampering, but essentially my belief is that if you don't know where you're going and how much they're paying you, you probably don't need to hit the portal, because if you're waiting to get recruited out of the portal, you that probably isn't going to work out as well as you might hope.
Yeah, that is true. And now Dan completely changed my segue. Well, however,
listen,
you know, but think about it, right? Like, there is somebody that will recruit you very, very well to your next mortgage.
Dan, oh man, friends, if you have listened to this show before, you know that Craig Oxane is the area sales manager for the Money Store. He is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, based out of Chicago. Friends, Craig is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. He's going to offer you super competitive rates, give you the best deal he possibly can, but he's also going to give you 5-star service. And that matters because the mortgage process is super confusing. Interest rates moving all over the place. You know, many times you're in a spot like Omar is or Joe is, where you got young kids at home. You can't get your face ripped off when you got young kids at home, man. They actually need your income. People depend on you. And in a case like that, that's when you want to deal with someone who cares. You know, not a call center, not some random big box bank or mindless website, but somebody you can pick up the phone and call with your questions. And if you don't have questions when you're buying a house, you're doing it wrong, guys. And this is how the West Point Network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at Astro Football, and we're helping you find the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by introducing you to the very man that you need to meet. Finally, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. It's a gigantic savings. That's like $1,300. Guys, save yourself $1,300. Go to Craig. So Craig Oxane, area sales rep for the Money Store. Check him out. Link's on our website. So is Jocelyn's, and so is Greg's, our last sponsor. Rob says you can Google it. I'm going to just tell you, you're probably not going to spell that name right. Go to askforfootball.com. Everybody's got their little business cards. Just click on there. You'll be talking to these guys in no time. It's too easy.
Thanks, Dano. And for the last time this year, we are going to go into our
weekly locks.
There's only one game that we're picking. So give us a score and what do you think? How do you think the game is going to play out? We'll go.
Winner takes all, right? No matter even if we're 7 under par.
Yeah, sure. Dano, what do you got?
Indiana 55-10.
55-10. Woo. He's calling for the blowout. Omar, how about you?
I got Indiana 35-24.
Okay, that's fair. Joe, how about you?
I'm going to say Indiana 31-23.
31-23.
Specific. I mean, 23 is kind of an unusual football score.
Yeah. It is. I'm gonna be sweating down to the minute because Miami's +8.5. So I'm guessing it's going to be 8. And I'm gonna be sweating down to the minute.
for sure. Hey, I would totally like to see a close contest, but I'm feeling that Kirk Cignetti has a secret, and it's called his defense. I think they'll They'll get to Carson Beck in the first half, and I think both quarterbacks will have probably between 55 and 65 yards rushing, because both of those guys use their legs in a lot of their wins. So don't be surprised if I would put in a rushing parlay for both of those guys with about 40 yards apiece. And
I like the over if it's anywhere near 50. I think these teams are going to score. I think it's going to be about 56 points, 55.
Remind us what the over-under is.
I think it's 48.5 right now.
Oh, wow.
I like the over. Scoring.
Okay.
Yeah. I got Indiana with a W, 42-17. That's what I think is going to happen. But speaking about W's, we got a guy who just recently won a national championship in professional bodybuilding. So there's a reason why you don't need another workout. You need a coach who's an expert in fitness and proven protocols, but more importantly, someone who has survived total physical and mental collapse of himself and then pulled himself out of the fire, rebuilt himself to be even stronger and better. Greg Anicelli is a West Point graduate, class of 1997, Army veteran, successful enterprise software sales executive, IFBB pro bodybuilder, NCI certified fitness coach, and now the founder of Warriors Physique Fitness. After losing everything, his marriage, his identity, his confidence, his physical and mental health, Greg completely rebuilt himself from rock bottom through faith, discipline, and elite level training. At age 50, he recently became the overall classic physique bodybuilding champion at the NPC Masters USA National Championships in Las Vegas and earned his IFBB pro card, proving that it's never too late to become the warrior that you meant to be. Today, Greg's mission is to coach men who are struggling to stop the drifting and decline, resurrect themselves physically, mentally, and spiritually with his online coaching program. If you are ready to reclaim your strength, your confidence, and your warrior ethos and identity, apply at Warriors Physique Fitness. Start writing your own comeback stories. A special note, Greg is offering active duty military veterans and first responders a 15% discount off of their 16-week transformation fee. AFF Firsty Club members and West Point grads get a massive 30% discount on the same initial week's fee. Like all of our sponsors, Greg has a business card on the website. Click it, fill out the information. You'll be talking to him soon enough. Man, like, it's been a great year for Astro football this year. We haven't talked about it near enough. We have grown quite a bit, our audience, our team, and just what we've been doing. So if you haven't checked out the merch store, if you haven't checked out the Firsty Club, sign up, try it out for a couple months.
Can I plug an Army show? We're going to do an Army show at some point in the next week or so to talk about the end of Army's football season and preview As for Lax. That's definitely coming. I have to write that show, which means I got to put my book aside long enough to actually do it. But we're going to wait until after the national championship and then see when everybody's available. But look for that. That's coming.
Yeah, for sure. And again, like we're trying to bring you the best of Army sports and some of the other things. Roundtable is our opportunity to talk about college writ large. And then the Army football show specifically focuses on Army football during the season. Surprise, surprise. But then we have As for Lax, As for Baseball, and all the other things. But be on the look for that. It's coming soon, as Dano mentioned. Also, if you haven't taken the time to watch men and women's basketball, you're missing out. Like Army men's and women's basketball is doing great this season. The women's team is on fire. They're 12-3, third overall in the Patriot League. The men are 7-12, they're 1-3 in the conference, but like all the games I've watched, they've been super, super competitive. And so, you know, hats off to the Army men and women's basketball teams, man. Great job. Support the team. They're on the plus. Dan, you got something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, James is trying to get Coach Kulik back on the show. He's got a whole list of interviews out for the offseason, so we're hoping that one pans out, but probably not in the season.
Yeah, for sure. But we really appreciate all you guys' support, and like what you guys being here allows us to do the things that we do. We were able to go to Army Navy this year because of all the support. We get the Army AD multiple times a year for interviews, and it's just because our audience pays attention to what we're doing. And so that gives us the opportunity to kind of talk and see things. And one last bit of news. Unfortunately, we're going to end this on a sad note, but Coach Nate Woody has hit the transfer portal and is now signed with Cincinnati. So he's going to be the new defensive coordinator for the Bearcats. It's a loss for the Army team, but I mean, in typical Army fashion, next man up, we're going to find the next defensive coordinator for the team as we go into the 2026 season. That's a mouthful, lots of words, and I'm going to catch my breath really quickly. So for the team here at the As for Football College Football Roundtable, I'm your host, Rob the Angry Colonel in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We've got Dano Icabesa calling to you out of Coastal Connecticut. Omar, the Burger Popper, is calling to you out of the great state of Oklahoma, and Triggered Joe is calling to you from the home of the Big House. Hey, we got one more week left, one more game in college football. See the championship playoff. We'll see if Joe covers that 8 points that he needs. And stay tuned. Follow us on the socials. Hit us up if you have any questions, comments, gripes, or complaints. But if you do have any complaints, go talk to your resident chaplain, because we don't want to hear them. And we will see you guys next year. And we'll talk to you guys again soon. Thanks for joining us on the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. Special thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're buying or selling, reach out to Jocelyn for expert service. If you enjoy the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/askforfootball. Your support will help keep the lights on and bring in more great content. Plus, you'll get access to exclusive perks and behind-the-scenes extras. Thanks for being a part of the Ask for Football community. Go Army, beat Navy, and we'll catch you guys next week.